Good morning. It's Thursday, August 20th. I'm Fletcher Powell, and this is Wichita's early edition from KMUW News. Demand for U.S. cotton has been stagnant for decades.
For the last 20 years, we actually haven't had any growth.
But U.S. agriculture officials have a plan to change that. We'll hear more after the news. Local teachers' union leaders are not endorsing a tentative contract deal with the Wichita School District after negotiators announced the deal Tuesday, KMUW's Daniel Cottle reports.
United Teachers of Wichita's executive board voted to present the deal with no recommendation rather than suggest teachers approve or reject it. The deal includes a 1.5% raise for all teachers and certified staff members like counselors and school nurses. Union President Katie Lasky says the district would also up its contributions to health care plans without a rate increase for employees.
We're hearing across the state a lot about insurance costs. So that will stay the same in this agreement.
The neutral stance from leaders could reflect mixed feelings about the deal, which was brokered by a federal mediator. About 3,900 teachers and other certified staff members could vote on the deal as soon as next week. For KMUW News, I'm Daniel Cottle.
Thousands of intellectually and developmentally disabled Kansans wait for years to receive services from the Medicaid Home and Community-Based Services Medicaid Waiver Program. Lawmakers have been hearing their stories. Zach Boblett of the Kansas News Service brings us one of them.
The services Kansans wait for range from personal care and adult daycare to specialized medical equipment. Spencer Perry spent 4 years on the wait list. Whit Downing with the Kansas Council on Developmental Disabilities was a friend of Perry. She told lawmakers why he was not at the meeting advocating for himself and others.
A few weeks ago, he took his life at 22 years old.
Downing says she waited for 8 years before finally receiving help, and like her friend Perry, she too attempted suicide while waiting. Thousands of Kansans remain on the wait list. Lawmakers are now looking at ways to address the problem. At the Kansas State House, I'm Zach Boblett.
A group of transgender men is traveling across Kansas to bring attention to what they call flaws in a new state law. The SB 244 compliance crew is traveling from town to town to highlight problems with the state's transgender bathroom law. In an act of malicious compliance, the group visited public facilities in Emporia and Western Kansas, where the transgender men followed the law by using women's restrooms and locker rooms. Group member Ray View says he does not want to make anyone uncomfortable, but believes the law forces uncomfortable moments.
I personally don't want to walk into a women's room and make women feel unsafe, but that's what the law has required me to do.
View says he's been using men's restrooms for years without any complaints from other men. The group says it plans to continue demonstrations throughout the state. Elephants at the Sedgwick County Zoo have a new place to take cover in the heat. The zoo's expanded elephant barn opened Tuesday. KMUW's Anavi Prakash reports.
After about 10 months of construction, the zoo's African elephant herd has a new indoor home. The $10 million barn expansion began in October, following the birth of 4 calves between April and August of last year. The barn is now twice the size, spanning 38,000 square feet. African elephants are an endangered species. Scott Newland is the zoo's CEO.
Working collectively, zoos need to do everything that we can to make sure that we have elephants in our facilities for the future generations.
The barn expansion is part of the zoo's conservation efforts, he says. The zoo's herd currently has 11 elephants with 1 calf on the way. For KMUW News, I'm Anavi Prakash.
Cases of the parasite cyclosporiasis continue to climb across Kansas, although the overall numbers and rate are actually slowing down. About 70 cases of cyclosporiasis have now been reported in August, which is up only 13 cases from last week. The total number of patients rose to more than 800 in the state this year. 35 people in Kansas have been hospitalized. The parasite causes extreme intestinal distress. Illness in 17 states, including Kansas, is linked to iceberg lettuce sourced from Taylor Farms. 2 people have died, both in Michigan. Another Kansas community is warning people to remain alert after a possible mountain lion sighting. Officials in Inman, southwest of McPherson, say a mountain lion was sighted near the Inman Motocross and Country Park. The warning comes about a week after the confirmed sighting of a mountain lion near Liberal in southwest Kansas. The distance between Liberal and Inman is about 200 miles, but young males have been known to travel large distances. Wildlife authorities urge people in the area to stay aware of their surroundings and keep children and pets close by. Mountain lions are most active at dawn, dusk, and nighttime. A new report has ranked Andover High School as the best public high school in the Wichita metro area. The U.S. News & World Report also ranked the school 7th in the state. The annual rankings are determined by a variety of factors, including college readiness, graduation rates, and state assessment scores. This year, Andover High had a 97% graduation rate and a 79% college readiness rate. Andover Central High was ranked 2nd, and Wichita's Northeast Magnet High School placed 3rd. The full list of schools is at usnews.com. Wichita City leaders approved a new roadmap for development downtown on Tuesday. The 2035 Downtown Wichita Action Plan calls on city leaders and private developers to build out family-sized housing, transit networks, and amenities, including grocery stores, in the city's core. The plan also recommends activating the river by planting more trees, planning more recreation opportunities, and encouraging commercial development on both banks. The document also envisions a new performing arts center and convention space around Century 2. Council members say they are not fully committing to that vision and left the door open for further investment in the existing venue instead. Officials in Kansas City, Kansas, are investigating an animal hoarding case after finding a house full of neglected dogs. More than 80 dogs of various ages were rescued Saturday by Kansas City Animal Services, the city's police department, and local volunteers. Police say the dogs were visibly emaciated, with their fur caked in urine and feces. Animal Services and outreach partners have since taken the dogs in, including the nonprofit Animal Rescue Positive Tails, which took in more than 16 dogs. The owner was arrested for outstanding warrants. And now KMUW's Luann Stevens shares some upcoming events around the Wichita area.
Music Theater Wichita's Hairspray continues tonight through Sunday at Century 2. Cowtown presents The Great Ice Cream Scheme, or Robin Baskins to the Rescue. The melodrama runs tomorrow through Sunday and again August 28th through the 30th at Cowtown. Wham Nights presents live music by Charlie Wilkes at 6 p.m. tomorrow at the Wichita Art Museum. In addition to the music, you can check out the exhibition Seeing America, Regionalism and American Scene Paintings from the Swope Art Museum. The Wichita Forever Festival is noon to midnight on Saturday. It's a citywide festival with nearly 100 bands performing at more than 10 venues. You can find the full lineup at wichitaforeverfest.com. KMUW's Literary Feast is next Wednesday. It's at 6 o'clock at the station, and the book is Country People by Daniel Mason. Tickets are available online through Tuesday morning. And the Planet of Venus Latino Award Dinner is 6 p.m. next Thursday at Botanica. You can find out about these and other events by going to kmuw.org.
We'll be back after this.
Support for KMUW comes from Fidelity Bank, ready to serve with online banking services that give you greater control anywhere, anytime. Online at fidelitybank.com.
So we'd like to dedicate this one to all the girls of Winfield.
On August 29th at 7 p.m., we'll take a dive into the archives of the Walnut Valley Festival. Hear sets from the 1970s from musician Brian Bowers and bands Rice Straw and Hot Rides. I'm Jonathan Huber. Join me August 29th at 7 p.m. here on 89.1 KMUW for Walnut Valley Festival, The Early Years.
I'm Fletcher Powell, and this is Wichita's Early Edition. American farmers grow a lot of cotton, but not as much as they used to. Cotton is more expensive to grow these days, and the rise of synthetic fabrics has also tamped down demand for it. There is a plan to try to reverse that trend, though. Harvest Public Media's Michael Marks reports.
For most of cotton's history, people have only wanted more of it. The world's textile mills demanded more cotton every year until 2006. That was the peak.
You know, you'd have to look at it and say, over the last 20 years, we actually haven't had any growth.
That's Hank Reichel, CEO of Staple Cotton, a marketing co-op that exports American cotton around the globe. He says the stagnation is because clothing makers replaced cotton with man-made materials like nylon or polyester. Those are easier to work with and often cheaper.
Certainly what we've seen over the last 20, 30 years is a big increase in synthetic textiles versus cotton.
During that time, the whole U.S. cotton industry has downsized. In 1991, the U.S. Department of Agriculture counted more than 1,500 cotton processors. Now, there are just over 400. This trend has caught the attention of people in Washington, like Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins.
Now, we are working to reverse course. Today, USDA is announcing our new Great American Cotton Plan.
The plan is a multi-part strategy by the department to increase demand for the fiber and profits for farmers. One piece is to support a bill called the Buying American Cotton Act, which would offer tax breaks to manufacturers for using U.S.-grown cotton.
What the act does, basically, is it says, okay, look, even if you're a Chinese mill and you're sourcing and using U.S. cotton, to the extent you're using that in your product, you come back, you get a tax credit.
That's Darren Hudson, agricultural economics professor at Texas Tech University.
I can bid more for those U.S. bales because I know I'm going to get a tax credit on the back end.
It's an exciting prospect for folks in the cotton business like Seth Stevens, general manager of United Agricultural Cooperative, a farm service company in El Campo, Texas.
It has a whole trickling effect across the industry. I mean, prices have a good shot to rise. More acres are going to be put in the ground, and that's going to equate to more cotton to gin, right? So the effects of it will be large.
The bill is still waiting for hearings in the U.S. Senate and House of Representatives, but has dozens of co-sponsors from both parties. But that's not the only effort to revitalize American cotton. Cotton boosters are trying to claw back sales they've lost to synthetic fibers by suggesting those fabrics aren't healthy for you.
With every step, every breath, every heartbeat, microplastics escape from our clothes into the air.
This is from an ad by the National Cotton Council. It's part of a new campaign called Plant Not Plastic, which portrays cotton as a safer alternative to man-made fabrics. It has the backing of the USDA.
Choose cotton. What you wear matters. Plant, not plastic.
Microplastic pollution is the cotton industry's counterargument to synthetic fibers, and the message is starting to gain some traction, according to garment makers like Marta Miller.
We're finding a big demand currently with people wanting to have a cotton-based activewear brand.
Miller said some of her clients have concerns over the health effects of synthetic plastic-based fabrics, but it remains to be seen if cotton can serve the purpose of something like nylon or spandex. Miller's trying to make a cotton fabric that has the same kind of stretchiness.
It fits when we first put it on, but after, 6 hours of wearing it, it kind of loses the ability to stay tight on the waist or something like that. So we've been working on figuring out the exact way to mill the fabric.
Cotton growers hope that those kinds of advances, along with some help from Congress, will help keep their industry healthy for a while longer. I'm Michael Marks, Harvest Public Media.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains, including KMUW. Thanks for listening to Wichita's Early Edition. We'll be back again tomorrow. For KMUW News, I'm Fletcher Powell.
Wichita's Early Edition is part of the NPR Podcast Network.
Tomorrow on the range, everyone needs a Nido. Plus, Pokemon Go turns 10, and we're still hunting and catching. So join us on the range, where we share stories about where we live and the people who live here.
The fatal shooting of a teenager at a protest in Seattle has gone unsolved for 6 years.
This is open in your face. How are there no answers?
Our investigation has uncovered new evidence and witnesses who say they've never talked to police.
Did police ever call you?
Not once.
Listen to We Keep Us Safe, a new true crime series on the Embedded podcast from NPR.